The music known as jazz has gone through many stages of evolution, but perhaps never through one as interesting as its recent renaissance.
The University of California welcomes you to its 1,458th broadcast featuring the University Explorer. Over the years, the Explorer has presented music from Africa, the South Seas, the American Indian, and modern folk opera. Now he turns to perhaps an even livelier medium as he brings us a transcribed story called The New Look in Jazz. Here's Hale Sparks, the University Explorer.
Well, thank you, Roy Rowan. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Popular historians sometimes refer to the hectic 1920s in this country as the jazz age. But in view of the newly revived interest in this lively form of music, it may be that the title will be more appropriate to the latter half of the 1950s. In terms of the number of listeners, both to live performances and to the many new recordings, jazz seems to have reached a new high-water mark. Perhaps some of this enthusiasm arises from long-playing records, which have made it easy to collect masterpieces of the art from the past and present. But another potent factor is that a new kind of jazz has appeared, which has more appeal to those who are usually interested only in classical music. I heard the story of this renaissance of jazz from one who is participating in it, Mr. Neswi Ertegun, former lecturer in jazz history for the University of California Extension. Besides making numerous recordings of current jazz performances, he is the author of a history of our Western jazz in a recent publication entitled Jazz West Coast. A few years ago, a music critic wrote a book called Jazz Hot and Hybrid. It was a highly appropriate title, for most of the jazz we hear today is a hybrid of some sort, that is, it shows the strong influence of some other kind of music. Military band music had its effect on New Orleans jazz. English church music influenced the lively Negro spiritual. And the classical European tradition can be found in modern progressive jazz. But whatever its influence, jazz has a characteristic flavor based on its Negro heritage. Part of this flavor arises from the complex rhythms of African music. These multiple rhythms have appeared from time to time in jazz and are especially typical of the modern progressive styles. Another jazz component is the unusual treatment of the conventional musical scale. The scale of West African music contains only 5 whole tones instead of the usual 7 notes of our conventional scale, which includes 2 half tones. As a result of this divergence, early Negro singers tended to flatten the 3rd and 7th notes of the scale, and this tradition continues in jazz performances today. Moreover, there's a tendency to flatten the entire scale, which makes the blues blue in more ways than one. Jazz performers don't approach true pitch in the European sense of the word. There is more freedom of intonation, and the artists play the way they feel like playing. While classical music demands a pure, clear tone, jazz musicians are more likely to use a vibrato, somewhat similar to that of the human voice. And this, too, has an explanation going back to the early days of jazz, Ertegun says, for the early Negro musicians literally sang into their instruments. Thus, jazz acquired many of the characteristics of the human voice. This freedom of interpretation has led to considerable individuality among jazz performers. A classical symphony sounds pretty much the same when played by any of the good symphony orchestras, but there's no telling from the written music just what a jazz artist will do with the selection. For example, there's no way to write down the exact interpretation that a jazz clarinetist will use, and moreover, he will not do it exactly the same way twice. This variation in performance made jazz a very fleeting thing before the advent of recordings. Today, however, thousands of records make it possible not only to preserve typical examples of the various schools of jazz, but also to preserve the styles of individual artists. To illustrate some of the principal schools of jazz, including the controversial new West Coast variety, I want you to hear excerpts from several recordings. The first 3 of these are different versions of the old jazz standard, the St. Louis Blues. In the 1930s, the big, smooth commercial band was in fashion. Its members worked from written arrangements, and thus its performances were more predictable. And here's a smooth, swinging chorus of St. Louis Blues by the Glenn Miller Orchestra. ¶¶ Beginning in the 1940s and growing stronger in the 1950s, there was a revival of what is known as New Orleans jazz or Dixieland. Bands playing this kind of music usually have no more than 6 or 7 instrumentalists. Usually the trumpet plays the lead, the clarinet plays counter melodies, while the trombone is half rhythmic and half melodic. The rhythm section plays a basic 4-4 rhythm, but with considerable freedom. Erdogan says the revival of Dixieland began in San Francisco with Lou Waters, Turk Murphy, and Bob Scobie. This new San Francisco style has much of the improvisation of early New Orleans jazz, and it gave more attention to good ensemble playing than to the pure virtuosity of its solo performers. Here's an example of the New Orleans style with an excerpt of St. Louis Blues as played by Kid Ory. Dixieland revival has had considerable impact on jazz, but perhaps even more important on the West Coast is the development of modern or progressive jazz, Mr. Erdogan told me. This highly experimental music may have roots which go back as far as Bix Beiderbecke, who merged elements of the French impressionistic composers with jazz. Among the leaders of this new school are Dave Brubeck, Jerry Mulligan, and Shorty Rogers. Composers and artists belonging to the modern jazz movement take harmony very seriously. While most groups still stress improvisation, others follow arrangements rather closely. Some of the arrangements show the influence of such composers as Stravinsky, Bartok, and even Schoenberg. One of the early performers in the new style was Dizzy Gillespie. And as you'll see from this recording of his performance of St. Louis Blues, it represents a sharp divergence from both Dixieland and the large smooth bands of the 30s. As modern jazz developed on the West Coast, it became somewhat more melodious and less frantic than the bop style. Quite a few of the performers began to write their own selections in a distinctive idiom. West Coast jazz acquired a reputation in some parts of the country as a purely intellectual and bloodless art. But Erdogan points out that West Coast jazz is far from lacking in feeling and rhythm. Certainly there's plenty of rhythm in the next excerpt you're to hear. A simple melody treated with considerable improvisation. Here's part of Oh, Play That Thing, written by Shorty Rogers and played by Shorty Rogers and his Giants. The experimentation of West Coast jazz artists is not limited to either composition or style. It has also taken the form of experimentation with new combinations of instruments. One of the most striking of these is the combination of oboe and flute in a small group known as Howard Rumsey's Lighthouse All-Stars. Listen to an excerpt from a selection entitled Aquarium, featuring these unusual jazz instruments. Those are some of the sounds being produced in what has come to be called West Coast jazz. Certainly, it isn't the same thing we regarded as jazz 20 years ago, but it's an interesting and vital development in a provocative form of music.
You've been listening to the University Explorer Hale Sparks in a transcribed program entitled The New Look in Jazz. The story was authenticated by Neswi Erdogan and adapted by Chandler Harris. If you would like a copy of the script, please send 10 cents in coin to the University Explorer, University of California, Berkeley, or Los Angeles. I repeat, send 10 cents in coin for each copy to the University Explorer, University of California, Berkeley, or Los Angeles. Now, what's the story for next week, Hale?
Well, Roy, it's a story I call, How Well Do You Read? It concerns the problem of improving reading ability, particularly for adults.
This University of California program, a Columbia Pacific feature, is broadcast overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service, a public affairs broadcast of the CBS Radio Network.